Let's enjoy this ongoing message by Sam Adeyemi.
Book Romans chapter 8 verses 14 to 17. Are you there? We're reading from Romans chapter 8 verses 14 to 17, all of us. Let us go. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Amen. This is supernatural living number two. This is essentially because what God has promised us can never be achieved through human ability. But God did not have human ability in mind when he made his promises to us. It's either you are running the race or you are running by grace. It's either by works or by grace. It's either by labor or by favor. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6. So that's why we're taking on this discussion. Supernatural living, because that's what God has provided for us. The foundation for us is in our understanding the fact that we share God's nature. This is very, very important. When Nicodemus went to Jesus in John chapter 3 and said, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God is with him. Jesus said to him in John chapter 3 and verse 3, truly, truly, I say to you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born the second time. Now that's interesting. The reason why Jesus was saying that was he wanted to take Nicodemus down to the foundation, the root, you know, of your capacity as a person. Your capacity or capability is rooted in your nature. Rooted in your nature. Man was designed to have two natures. The human nature and then a spiritual nature. Okay? The human nature and then the spiritual nature. And the spiritual one was designed to be God's nature. Job chapter 32 verse 8 says, there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. So the nature of God was meant to drive the human nature to maximize its potentials. But God told man, the day that you sin, you will die. That death was primarily spiritual. The cessation of the nature of God in man. Nature abhors a vacuum, even in the spirit. So, it's either you have the nature of God or you have the nature of Satan. You can't do without the two. It's either you have one or you have the other. The moment man lost God's nature, Satan's nature took over. Sin is primarily a nature, not just the act, the nature. Okay? So when Jesus was explaining to Nicodemus, he said, there's a rule that governs the reproduction of nature. It's the kind begets kind principle. That which is, he said, except you are born again, you can't even experience the kingdom of God. When Nicodemus was confused, then Jesus explained in John 3 verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You are a human being because you were born by a human being. Spiritually, though, you don't have the right nature. So you need to be born the second time. But this time, spiritually. Spirit gives birth to spirit. You are primarily a spirit being with capacity to function beyond your five senses. Our challenge here is for us to learn to rely on the nature of God in us to live our lives. You know why? That nature takes us beyond the limits of human ability. See, the nature of an animal is different from that of a plant. The nature of a human being is different from that of an animal. We have God's nature in us, and we need to rely on the potentials of that nature to fulfill our destinies. The new birth is the most powerful avenue for the transformation of a human being. In other words, that event or process where God destroys the nature of Satan and puts his own nature in us is the most powerful foundation for change in a person's life. Do you know why? That nature of God that we derive takes us beyond the limits or the limitations of human nature. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. When you get that nature, it redefines your status. The status of a human being is higher than that of an animal, period. But then there's a nature that is higher than the nature of man. It's the nature of God. And a human being can have that nature. That's why this second birth is so powerful. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things have passed away. All things have become new. The child of a lion is a lion. When it's born in the forest, its status is automatically defined. It's not in the same class as other animals. We have the nature of God in us. We need to be conscious of that nature. But more than that, we need to begin to explore the potentials, the realities of that nature. Too many people are frustrated. Frustrated that they are born again. The Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away, but things seem to be the same. In fact, for some, things seem to be going worse. They're praying. It's like their prayers are not being answered. They are confessing and confessing till they are confused. And they're wondering, so what's going on? It seems to be working for someone. It's not working for me. I'll tell you where the missing link is. That God nature needs to be developed. It needs to be developed into maturity. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2 says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may what? Grow thereby. I agree that the child of a lion is a lion, but it is a baby lion. It's a cub. And like I say once in a while, a confident goat can kill that young lion. Hear what I said, confident one. Because of the limited capacities of this young lion. It's the same thing spiritually. That as long as our God nature is not developed, is not grown, we cannot realize and explore the phenomenal potentials of the new world we've been born into. And the awesome capacities that God has given us to make things happen. Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 We have a description there also of what happens when you are entitled to so much, but you are not matured enough to handle it. Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. That's it. He's the heir. He's master of all. He owns everything, but we cannot give him access to everything. Why? Maturity. Maturity. Some people pray. And they wonder why their prayers are not being answered. And in reality, in many of those instances, God has answered. If it's in your destiny, if God has promised it, you will get it. When you ask for it, he gives it. But in many instances, he gives it as a post-dated check. There's no amount of prayer our 10-year-old daughter would pray today that will make us to give her car keys. I mean, give her the keys to a car and give her a car. That's a coffin, not a car. See? He said, please give me the car, please, please. This thing won't answer to praying. It will answer to growing. Growing. It's already in the there. It's provided for. It's in the destiny. They said he's the heir. But he's not different from a slave. Though he is master of all. So what do you do to him? You train him. Grow him up. Train him. So, 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. He said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, what are the childish things he mentioned? The thinking. Okay, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child. That's it. A child's interpretation is just different. So, in the passage that we read in Romans chapter 8, verse 15, there talks about the spirit of adoption, whereby we can call God daddy. The Abba there is daddy, really. The spirit of adoption. Adoption there is not like we use the word today when you get a child. When you get a child by signing legal documents. No. God didn't beget us by signing documents. Okay? Adoption there is from the Greek word huiotesia. The placing of a son. The Hebrew equivalent of it is bar mitzvah. The bar mitzvah. A ceremony in Israel. And in those days, when you had a son, you trained him. You gave him the best training you could. Your objective to get him to the point where his sense of judgment will become perfectly aligned with yours. He thinks like you. How do you achieve that? You have to give him your vision. Two, you have to instill your values into him. Your standards have to become his standards. He's got to reason the way you reason. When you are able to get him to that point, then you brought him out publicly at a ceremony that they call the Bar Mitzvah. Anyone who had gotten his son to that point asked him to stand on a stone and told everybody, this is my huios. There are five words translated child and son in the New Testament from the Greek, in the Greek language. In English, we have only child and son. So it's not clearly delineated. But the highest level of maturity was the huios. So when you got your son to that point, then you introduced him publicly to everybody and said, this is my beloved son, my huios. In him I'm well pleased. Everybody in the community understood what you meant. From that point onwards, the guy's presence was as good as yours. His word was as good as yours. So if he made any commitments, business commitments, you were committed. Okay? Because you are told everybody, if you can, he can transact business on my behalf. If he says it, I said it. Okay. They tell us that the equivalent today is for you to take your son to the bank and to put his signature on the signature card. And his signature is as good as yours. He can bring the money out at any time. The bank manager has to honor his signature. How many people's sons do you think are at that level now? Okay. But that was their objective. Interestingly, at the River Jordan, the day Jesus was baptized, God did exactly that for him. Announced in public. Jesus was 30. Said, "This is my huios. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." It means that God deliberately took time to groom Jesus. And that God's objective was to get his thinking to be perfectly aligned with the Father's thinking. That's God's objective for you too. He wants your character to be exactly the same as his. You know, Jesus got to the point where he asked the disciples, "Have you seen me and you are still asking for the Father? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." Am I right? Yeah. And that is the essence of this life that God gave us. That's God's objective. It's not just to give you a car or to give you a house. To get your character to be perfectly aligned with his. To the point where when you speak, God has spoken. He wants you to walk in love. Wants you to be a lover. Wants you to have his character and wants you to have his competence. Any problem that God will solve, if you are there, you solve it. That's the objective. You observe that the Bible says that the heavens opened and the Spirit of God descended on Jesus. See, a father at that public ceremony will take his cloak and wrap it around his son. He will give his son a cloak that was exactly the same as his. Okay? So that was the symbol of authority that the guy had. And what God did was to wrap the Holy Spirit around Jesus. And that's our own symbol of authority today also. The power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Did you observe that as soon as that happened, the Bible says that Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. We've got to test him. And the first temptation was, if you are the Son of God. So even Satan understood what God meant. All of the resources of God were now at the disposal of Jesus. His signature was as good as God's signature. So Satan said, if you are the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. He knew Jesus had the power to do it. But Jesus said to him, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I didn't get here by disobeying God. I didn't get here by doing my own thing. I could not have gotten it if I only wanted to use it for myself. That would have been immaturity. One of the signs of maturity is ability to delay gratification. I got here by aligning perfectly with revelation. I'm not going to start now by overvaluing material things. The spiritual one is superior. So Satan failed there. Jesus passed the tests and then went on and was using that power for exactly what God would have done with it. So he was hungry, hadn't eaten 40 days, 40 nights. He didn't use the power to produce bread for himself. But the day it was the crowd that needed food, he used the power to produce the food for them. Okay, because that's what God the Father would do. And that's the purpose of the power. James 4:3 says, "You ask and you receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lusts." When you are perfectly aligned with God the Father, you'll be free from selfishness and self-centeredness. You walk in love, sir. So that's God's objective for every single one of us. To get us to the place of maturity where our value system is perfectly aligned with God the Father's value system. Amen. Amen. That's God's objective. That's where he's taking us to. And now, you know what? All the things that look like problems to us, they will become cheap when we function at that level. Just a little example, and we'll stop for today. How did Jesus approach financial matters? It's a question you need to ask yourself. How did Jesus, did he ever fret? How many prayers did he pray? How many all-night prayer meetings did he attend to solve a financial problem? No, because, see, he was functioning supernaturally. And when you are at that level, you will know that God did not create money. Man did. Mm-hmm. God didn't create money. Man did. God created wealth. And the major part of that wealth is spiritual. It's intangible. It's like when you talk about the tip of an iceberg. You know, the iceberg is just a small thing that you see, but the major part is under the water. That's it. The whole of the material world is just a little projection of the spiritual world. Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things that are seen were not made from things that are visible. Hebrews 11:3. So when Jesus saw the crowd didn't have food. John chapter 6 verse 5. The Bible says that he turned to Philip and said, Philip, where will we get bread for these people to eat? Philip's brain packed up. Why? Because it was tied to money. Verse 6 says, this he said to test him, because he himself knew what he was going to do. Answers will come to you more easily this year. Tell him. What seemed so difficult last year will be easy for you to resolve. The higher you rise, the better you see. Telling you. This he said to test him. He knew what he was going to do. It was just a test. Philip's brain went to money. He came back and said, Master, even 200 denarii worth of bread is not enough to feed these people, even if we give each one a little. Scarcity mentality. In the realm of the spirit, God's resources are limitless. They can never be exhausted. Hallelujah. So the money couldn't handle it. And Jesus went ahead and fed the crowd with food. Because his thinking was beyond money. Yeah. There's someone here. Yeah. You've been saying, without money, you can't do anything. What are you talking about? Without money, nobody can do anything. Man must have money. If there's no money, some people preach it, they propagate the gospel of no money, no nothing, no action. I grew up hearing the riddle. There's a Yoruba riddle, you know, that says, that asks, somebody said that when he is not at home, nobody should hold any discussion. Who is that? Oh, whoa, money. From that story in John 6, you would have seen by now that in our own realm, in our own dimension, in our system, when money is not at home, we will still hold our discussion. Because we have resources more powerful than money. Have you read Acts chapter 3 before? Where Peter and John prayed for and healed a lame man. The lame man was asking them for alms. Peter said, look on us. The Bible said he looked on them intently, hoping to get more money. Then Peter says, silver and gold, I have none. The man must have said, then why are you wasting my time? He said, but what I have, I will give you. For most people, it is silver and gold, I have none, full stop. If I don't have money, I don't have anything. They said, but what I have, I will give you. So they still had something. And it was more powerful than money, sir. When Jesus was training his disciples in Matthew 10, he sent them out. The Bible says he gave them power to heal sicknesses and diseases. And told them, don't take your extra money. Don't take any purse. Don't take your savings. I don't need it. I want to teach you something. Don't take anything. The laborer is worthy of his wages. If you know money is only a means of exchange of value. If you have the capacity to solve a problem for someone or to meet a need, money will come in your direction. He established the principle. And when you function supernaturally, you have capacity to solve problems. Problems that money cannot solve, sir. I'm telling you, you become a person of value. Listen, me and you, we're walking on a higher dimension this year. We cannot be the poor children of a rich God. We can't be the weak children of a powerful God, sir. Our status has been redefined. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. You can't be the child of a lion and be crawling like a tortoise. Inherent is in your nature, in your design, is your status. This year, no more crawling. What God has designed and promised for you won't be gotten by struggling. It will be gotten by functioning supernaturally. Okay, so our assignment, you and I, is one, be conscious of your spiritual nature. Leverage on your supernatural nature, the nature that you share with God. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. You too, see yourself that way. I can't be flying in an aircraft and fly at a height that is lower than that of the pilot. So, I and my Father are one. Be conscious of your God nature to grow that nature. How do you grow? You eat. You grow on what you feed on. And what your spirit feeds on is revelation. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So the way food feeds your body is the way revelation feeds your spirit. Feed on revelation. No more junk food. Amen? Can't be reading newspapers more than you read the Bible. Listen to CD. Watch DVD. Come to church. Hear the word of God. And let revelation be sweet to your taste. Don't let physical food be sweeter to you than revelation will be sweeter to your spirit. Some of us thrill. Amen? When we receive the word. I know somebody is thrilling right now. Something, you are feeling the sweetness of the word of God. Because it's helping you to see. You are not who they said you are. You are who God says you are. Can't be building your self-esteem on material things. Jesus didn't build his self-esteem on material things. Whether I turn stone into bread, that can't be the thing to prove I'm the son of God. Since God said it, that's the truth. It. I am who God says I am. I don't need to be going running around town trying to prove that I'm something. Then I buy a big car to prove that I'm a big man. I wear a big dress to prove that I'm a big man. I'm big. And my bigness is not in the physical. It's in the spiritual. I am 1,000 times bigger on the inside than what you are seeing on the outside. When you walk around this year, walk with some spring in your step. Stop walking about like the world has beaten you, circumstances have beaten you, even the weather has beaten you. Excuse me, you are the one who should go about beating people. These signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. Be conscious of your God nature. Grow that God nature. This is a season for supernatural living. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Anything that stands on the way of your supernatural growth and development, the power of God will flush it out now. I prophesy by the power of the Spirit of God. I prophesy by the power of the Spirit of God. Everything that will make for your spiritual growth this year, heaven will bring it to you. I prophesy in Jesus' name that the power of the Holy Spirit will be more effective in your life this year. You will not have to rely on human ability. The power of God will work on your behalf. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I pray for that honest person who says, wow, I don't even have a good relationship with God. I'm a sinner. My lifestyle is not right with God. That's where it starts from. That's why I've been talking about the new birth. Let's ask God for forgiveness together. Everything will change from there. The Spirit of God will come, destroy that nature of sin, and put God's nature in you. And you will see what capacity that new nature will give you. If you're that honest person who wants us to pray together, you're here, you're in the overflow, or you're watching on the internet, can you please put your hand on your heart where you are? I want to pray with you. A very short prayer. Pastor Sam, pray with me that God should forgive me my sins. I'm a sinner. Can you please put your hand on your heart? Perhaps you've been a Christian before. You know you are not a good Christian. You've backslidden. If Jesus comes now or you die now, you are not absolutely sure you will make heaven. You want to rededicate your life to Jesus. Can you also put your hand on your heart, please? I'd like to pray with you. It's a short prayer, but life-changing. This is about the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God tugging at your heart right now. If you put your hand on your heart, we can pray together. God bless you. If your hand is on your heart for this prayer, can you please stand by your chair where you are? We'll pray together. We'll be done in about a minute. Can you stand? If you know you should be a part of this prayer, can you stand? Listen, it's your decision that determines your destiny, not your condition. The environment can be going crazy, but ultimately it's the choices you make that determine your destiny. I ask you to make up your mind. Life doesn't make way for people who don't make up their minds. Life seems to pave way, open doors for people who make up their minds. Make up your mind for God. If you're standing, can you please say this prayer after me? Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins. I ask you to forgive me and to accept me as your child. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. Lord, thank you for our brothers and sisters who are standing, those watching on the internet, who are part of this prayer. We thank you because the power of the Holy Spirit touches them now, washes them clean of every sin. And we thank you because you will reveal yourself to them and help them to grow as they know you more. In Jesus' name.